Welcome to True Confessions of a Sales Leader. This is a podcast where sales leaders share the secrets of their successes and failures while offering hard-won guidance along the way. I'm Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. We're here to help you and your sales team develop the skills, system, and culture that lead to sustainable and significant results. Our mission for each show is to give you transformational guidance you can take and use immediately in your sales organization. Thanks for tuning in. Please enjoy the show.
Welcome to another podcast of True Confessions of a Sales Leader. Today we have Scott and Gary, our normal hosts and guests, and we have Jim Benton, CEO at Chorus. So Scott, Gary, introduce yourselves.
Thanks, Melissa. This is Scott Olson. I founded the Olson Group back in 1999 with the mission of helping sales leaders and their teams achieve more than they thought possible and doing it in a way that is more enjoyable and fulfilling for them and their customers as well. So really excited today to have Jim with us. And we should link to this somewhere, but I got to watch Jim in a video podcast he did a few weeks ago, and it was on telling stories, the importance of storytelling. And he told stories to get the point across the whole time. It was fantastic. So really recommend that as well.
And this is Gary Brashear. I'm the managing partner at Olson Group. And I started as one of the Olson Group clients over 20 years ago on how to implement training and concepts that we'll talk a little bit about today. And so I'm the implementation person.
All right, Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, good to be with everybody. So Jim Benton, CEO at Chorus, leading conversation intelligence player, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a bit. You know, in my background, I've been in the sales tech space for quite a while. I co-founded ClearSlide, which is all about sales engagement and bringing people together. And ultimately, I'm just passionate about that moment when people come together, that 30-minute meeting, that shot for two parties to come together and solve problems. And that's ultimately what sales is about.
Well, Jim, tell us a little bit about Chorus and what conversation intelligence is.
Sure. I was a customer of Chorus previously when I was leading another sales tech company, Apollo, and got to see the power of being able to instantly understand every interaction that our team was having with our customers, our prospects, and in a way that I could just do it incredibly fast as even a new hire. I could just go through hours and hours and call after call and key moments and quickly get a pulse of really what the customers were telling us and what mattered. And so what customer intelligence and conversation intelligence is really about is ultimately about building really great relationships. And to do that, it starts by being able to capture every interaction. So we work with Zoom and all the different meeting platforms. We have a native integration so that we can join the meetings and be an active participant. We then use really rich proprietary AI backed by 13 patents to deeply understand what happens in these calls and to highlight those key moments, pricing discussions, competitor mentions. And when you put those together, it unlocks basically three key areas: the ability to really help drive team performance, understanding these winning behaviors. It helps to have really rich transparency across your deals, understanding the momentum and key moments that are driving the deals. And lastly, it helps to bring the voice of the customer, which is so important, back to every other decision, every other department in your company, so they can hear it straight from the customer, how they feel about a feature or pricing or a certain new initiative you're working on.
So as I was looking at the website and looking at Chorus, it can measure really concrete parts of a conversation. It can measure the length of a monologue or the number of engaging questions, and then it puts it into a dashboard. Now, how do skilled sales leaders use that information that the AI draws out to improve their sales teams?
Yeah, it's interesting. And in some ways, it starts with the skilled sales rep first. They have to love this and want to use it for the sales leader to get access to this data. And I think that's important. It's one of the key areas that I love about this category is we're not dealing with adoption. It just shows up. But once we can help reps have the perfect note taker, you know, transcribe a call flawlessly, identify the key moments, identify next steps for them, auto log that to Salesforce, that enables reps to want Chorus in every interaction. And in doing so, that means that sales leaders have access to all of these different interactions. And they don't have time to listen to a 30-minute call, but they want to quickly drill in and say, wow, I saw pricing was raised three times. Oh, there's a legal mention. Let's listen to that 32 seconds. And the ability for everyone to take small snippets. You know, here's an 18-second mention where they said these are the top three objectives the CEO wants, and to pop that in Slack and have the entire, you know, sales org listen to it. Those are those magic moments. But the key here is the efficiency of letting leaders comprehend a lot of data very quickly by identifying key moments and just drilling down to those specifics.
So when people are listening to things, and you know, a legal conversation or a next steps conversation, or even a conversation about pricing, or a rather long monologue, all of those are going to create emotions for the customer. And then there's the interpersonal interaction that happens between them. How much are sales leaders coaching on those small emotional pieces versus, you know, just kind of the overview of how a call went?
I think there's two types of coaching. There's the new collaboration of being able to comment down to very specific timestamps. So you're watching, imagine watching a discovery call, and at minute 18, you hear a certain question or a story is told that, yeah, maybe you loved it, maybe you didn't. The ability to comment right there at that timestamp and say, hey, the way you asked this, or the way we did this, I want you to check this out, or here might be a different way to do this. I think that's really powerful. So it's not just a generalization of, hey, great call, really liked that, here's a few things you can do. We're being very precise about the coaching we're giving. And especially during this work from home environment, it's pretty remarkable that the coaching has only improved while we're not together. The second part of coaching would be more of what we call scorecards, which is a more holistic, which is what are the key attributes, or what are the methodologies we're following, and how did you do that? And that's, I think you need both, to be honest with you.
So Scott and Gary, you've listened to quite a few sales calls in your careers. What types of things do you hear that are not red flags, but things that you're looking for that you encourage sales leaders to coach on? Scott?
Thanks, Melissa. We're also listening to ourselves a lot, actually, as well. It's so valuable to be able to replay that and learn and continually get better. With our clients, one of the key focus areas is, are we hearing a conversation really between the salesperson and the customer, or is it that kind of that one way and really not connecting with where the customer is? And that might be a combination of, sure, the listening and then really how to respond sometimes. So we just love the ability to leverage this type of technology to go back and really pinpoint those areas and then practice those after we've identified the key areas that could provide the biggest impact.
Gary, what do you think?
Yes, the thinking about what Jim was saying, the two types of coaching that's happening, you know, at a certain time or certain timestamp within the call that you can re-listen to and then ask questions to your salesperson. You know, why did you ask this question? What was the flow? You can have a conversation around that. And then we work with teams on that methodology or framework as to how the call went overall. You know, there's different stages of the call, and we can break out that part of the recording and say, okay, in the discovery stage, let's talk about the questions you asked in the follow-on questions. What other questions might you have asked at that point, now that you've heard it again? Because the great thing is you're hearing the customer, as Jim said, the customer's words, not what we remember the customer said, but what the customer actually said. And with the emotion that you were mentioning early, Melissa, has an impact, because if you're on Zoom and Chorus, you can see their physical emotion, their physical action, and their verbal. And those are all clues when you're talking to a skilled salesperson that they will pick up on. The other thing, as Jim said, you don't have to take notes. You can take key elements that you want. But prior to this technology, you had to make sure you took copious notes and then try to listen and write. And the concept of multitasking is not realistic. You're missing something somewhere. So this really allows the skilled salesperson to active listen. One of the trainings that we do is, how do you actively listen to the customer on the call, both in the original and listen in the recording.
Now, Gary, you mentioned being able to see the physical attributes, the reactions. That is incredibly powerful, and the ability to record that. But to see that nonverbal head nod that you'll see a lot, to see the smiles, they share a lot of data. And AI is helping us to start to capture that signal as well and translate that at scale. But those are really powerful signals as you're trying to understand how these relationships are building.
Especially now that we are not in the same room. You know, majority, and we think that this new style of selling, if you will, remote selling, virtual selling, is going to continue. Even with a recovery and all the things that are happening right now, we believe because of what Jim said, the efficiency of doing it this way, the cost efficiency and the time efficiency, both for the customer or the client and the sales organization or the company that is talking to you about how they can help your business.
Jim, as Gary mentioned, people are in the COVID times. We are not jumping on planes to go visit customers face to face. You also talked about the AI being able to capture those small moments, those nonverbal cues, body language. How is Chorus doing that now?
It's interesting. We pick up a significant amount of signal today, understanding things like patient score. You know, it's funny. Our team will talk about this quite often. But how often do you pause after asking questions? What is your overall way of connecting with people and your style? These are interesting little areas to coach on. We'll look at things like, when are you demoing? Are you demoing in the first 7 minutes? Do you start demoing at the 10th minute? How long are you spending in demoing versus slides? Filler words, which I just used right here, will be picked up on and give us insights and awareness into how we speak and how we can speak more clearly, which I'm now aware of. And those are the small pieces. But, you know, I was on a call yesterday with a senior leadership team, you know, large sales force they have. And I asked them, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, is your team bringing their best to every interaction today? And how do you know? And it's just interesting that they don't know. They have no idea. They're not in the calls. They don't understand the interactions that are actually happening in the field. And when you said, well, what about getting all that customer data back to the rest of the company? It's the same thing, which is we just don't know. We're not in those calls. And I think that's the eye-opening part, that you realize this transformation right now, that we actually can now capture this brand new data stream that never existed before. And it's probably the most rich data stream when it comes to selling.
So how are you seeing teams use this data stream in the most successful cases? What do they do with it?
One of the interesting use cases now is the onboarding. People are hiring. We're seeing a lot of hiring across companies, even during this period that we're in, but they're having to do this remotely and they're needing to onboard people. And they can't just sit them next to peers and have the tribal knowledge. They can't fly them in for in-person training. And what we're consistently hearing is just the ability to share those key moments from their top performers. And when I say key moments, it's about understanding, what are the conversations that lead to deals progressing? Because we're hooked into the CRM and we understand stage changes, dollar changes, close date changes, we can start to map, these are the conversations tied to deals that go to closed won. And these are the key moments that drove that. And those are the moments you want to train the new hires on. And we just saw that we had two new hires ourselves that started in August, and they ramped faster than any sales rep we've had in the history of the company. We did a little video on this. One of them is in Chicago and one of them is in Austin. So they're not surrounded by our teams. And the key was they were just able to understand what the top performers were doing, study those clips at scale, and basically bring a highly informed sales experience to new prospects within just weeks. And I think that's the magic of what is being unlocked here.
Scott and Gary, as you've used Chorus and worked with sales teams and you're listening, how do you advise those teams to use the data that Chorus is offering?
Well, we do it in two different ways. One, we look at the patterns across the team and also on that individual level. We know in general, sales leaders that coach their salespeople see an increase in ability to hit their quotas by 30%. Across the team. So it's really remarkable. And one of the challenges is the time to dedicate. And we're seeing sales leaders really stretch thin in many ways for many reasons. And this is a great way to get a lot of that time back. And so we look for, on the individual level, what are the top three areas each salesperson needs to work on to be more effective, and provide individual coaching for that person? And then are there patterns across the team where we can do more group work as well? And then, of course, this can highlight who's effective, and they can be the models for this. And you can share those across also. So it really accelerates. I'm not surprised at all with Jim's example with those two new hires ramping up so quickly with access to this amazing information.
I think, as Jim mentioned, this is a tool for coaching. We believe, we use it ourselves, we recommend it to our clients. It's an essential tool for coaching. It doesn't replace the skill of coaching, but it allows for a lot more coaching opportunities, because if all calls are recorded, you can then review them in advance, and this is what we recommend as best practice for the sales leaders, especially the frontline sales leaders, for them to listen to the call in advance of meeting in their coaching session, in advance of that coaching session, and have notes related to the areas they want to ask questions. And, you know, we believe that in the coaching, we have a coaching methodology. We train leaders on how to coach, the framework around coaching, because most people, and all the studies show this, most people believe they're great coaches. The majority are not. That not because they don't want to be good coaches, but they haven't been trained to be a good sales coach. There's a framework, there's a methodology that's proven to do that, and we help sales teams with that. And it's kind of interesting because Jim, both of the tools that Jim in his career has led or started or founded, like ClearSlide, you know, I've used as a sales leader, and they are essential for coaching and for engagement at the time the customer. In fact, one of the features of the ClearSlide was you could actually tell whether people were observing your slides when you were doing your presentation. I'm not quite sure how you did that, Jim, but that was amazing to me.
That was a fun feature. One of the data points that we've seen on the coaching side, especially right in the peak of Q2 during sort of COVID, is that coaching actions were up 63% across the entire platform. And that means that managers were commenting, scoring 63% more than they were prior. Overall for the year, it's up about 15%. So we are seeing leaders sharing more, collaborating more, coaching. And I think to Gary and Scott's point, you need the skill, you need the human. We would just want to facilitate in an efficient way to bring the live coach, the manager, and the extended team to be able to focus on the right moments and give really precise, great coaching. And we find that about one third of all comments that we see in the coaching are positive in sentiment. And so that's the encouragement side. And about two thirds of the comments are more of, here's something you could have done, or it's not negative, but just, oh, here's something you might want to say in that use case. But it's fun to look at how people are coaching as well.
And building on that, thinking about at scale with, you know, large sales organizations and teams, how we're starting to leverage Chorus is we help our clients identify their sales call quality at five different levels, five being the highest level, really that value creator. And they're not all going to be at that level, but we want more of those level four and five experiences. And we're able to identify what takes place during those types of calls. So we can look across the board and identify, wow, this percentage of our calls are falling in these buckets. And then we can hopefully show an increase in those level four and five over time. So it's really invaluable. Now, it doesn't always catch you. It was funny, Gary and I had a call where we were helping a client think through how to handle price objections. And it was kind of cool because Chorus caught that and said, hey, you're talking about price way too early. But it was because we're selling on how to be more effective in pricing. But it's really, really cool. You can put in the keywords and what to look for. And that really gives you a great first overview of what the call quality looks like across the entire organization.
Jim, many of the things that are being measured are parts of interpersonal communication and interpersonal relationships. And I think we can all look at our lives and think, oh, I have chemistry with this person, or this person really gets me. That other person doesn't really get me. Oh, that person, yeah, I don't like how they interact with me. Maybe I'm going to not work with them anymore. Is Chorus removing that notion of chemistry, or is it increasing the notion of chemistry and helping people improve their chemistry with others?
I think it's allowing us to coach on chemistry in a completely new way. So just being able to watch the way two humans are interacting on Zoom or other platforms and the body reactions, that is allowing leaders to pick up more signal on that side. One of the other aspects of that chemistry that I get very excited about when it comes to conversation intelligence is just coming into meetings with a running start. And what I mean by that is a lot of times execs get pulled into a call. And I think in the past, they would open up a CRM, but the challenge is CRM has a lot of data. It doesn't have a lot of relationship sentiment. There's not a lot of R in the CRM yet. That's what we want to be solving. And so they come in cold. You know, they introduce themselves as senior leader. They know just a little bit of the firmographic data and they plug in. And what's different, like when I join a call today with the senior leader, I'm watching the very first call that we had 8 months ago. And what did we hear? What were the objectives? Then I'm jumping to the call with the most senior person that was a couple months later, pinpointing what are the key topics that keep coming up, picking up the patterns, and coming in with this running start that says, look, I recognize these were the objectives. We heard this from the CEO. We understand these are some of the areas we're working through. Let's get started. And that is building a level of trust. And I would just say relationship building right off the bat that is important if we want to be moving these deals forward and solving real problems.
So, Jim, you have all of these people who are using your software and your product. If you could talk directly to them as a former sales leader and a current CEO, what advice would you give those people?
I think the idea of understanding what does best look like, we need to know that, and we owe it to our customers. Instead of just having an 80-20 rule where, you know, 20 of your 100 reps are top performers, how do we make sure that no matter what rep you're engaging with, what sales professional you're engaging with, you're getting an incredible experience and they're replicating the best behaviors of the reps that solve the most problems. And so I think the key is how quickly can we identify those patterns and behaviors that lead to positive outcomes, which is a win-win for, you know, company and customer. And how do we share those in a scalable way to thousands of other reps across the planet so they can be delivering and learning from those moments to create incredible experiences for their customers?
Gary, if you could take the bullhorn and offer advice to all of the users of Chorus, what would you say?
I would say that it's the newest tool, and I would say it's one aspect of coaching a sales organization to what we refer to as peak performance. It's not everything, but it is, as Jim said, it's the voice of the customer. And we always want to base our coaching and our training on the voice of the customer. It's not the interpretation of his or her voice, it's the actual voice. And if they also are using a video platform, it's also, as we talked earlier, the emotion and the nonverbal actions that you see. That allows us to do really better coaching because it's based on reality and what really happened, not ours or our reps' interpretation. So I think it's improving our ability to improve our own skills in the sales team. Now, the other thing that is required is, okay, as Jim said, a third of the feedback is very positive and two thirds is typically, here's areas that you can improve, where the reason it's so important, the platform's so important, okay, here's the actual recording, here's what we're suggesting, and then, hey, take a look at this e-learning module that gives you actual training on how you can improve in that area. So combining this platform with other platforms can really be a powerful training tool to get your teams to what we see, you know, 30, 40% better production.
And Scott, what would you say to all of those sales leaders using this tool?
Well, I'd also think about the ones that aren't, and I'd think, well, how can you not use this? It's providing such a huge impact. It's really transformational to be able to go back and listen. Yes, for the perfect notes, which I love that aspect of it. So I can really listen and engage with customers. The analytics and sharing of the best practices, not just talking about them. If you're not using this, I just think that the profession of sales, the effectiveness of salespeople is going to really increase tremendously as a result of this ability. And those that aren't taking advantage of it are really going to be left behind. So it makes me think of like the movie Moneyball with the analytics there, but we're able to, you know, watch the tape and record it. And it's fantastic. So it's really exciting. And so if you really are a student of the game and really want to master selling and be an amazing sales leader where you can, if you can't normally listen to as many or go on calls like you used to, or now you can, and you can pick and choose and go back and the reps can share with you, hey, here's a great call, or this was a really tough one. Let's listen to this. So the power it provides is unbelievable. So I would make sure that people really dedicate the time and set that aside. That's one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing is, again, sales leaders being stretched thin and not taking that time to listen to calls, but carving that out, it's a must have.
I think just to piggyback on that, Scott, I mean, one of the areas, as all of us have been in sales, I started my career in sales at AT&T. The joy of sales leadership is growing talent, is helping the new generation, the people you're surrounding with, become the best in their field, and just to help develop people. And it's difficult to do that if you're not in the game and you don't have the film to review. And so I think if you want to be a great coach and you want to develop people and unlock frictions, right? When you actually are looking at all the detail, you remove frictions and assumptions and you just get to it. And I love when I see certain instances on our side where you coach on a behavior, and then you watch the calls over the next coming weeks, and the behavior has changed. The reps have stepped up. We're doing things better. That's the joy of what we're all working on.
And there's some surprises too. I know on the website, courses website, it talks about, you know, we're learning that it's not all about that traditional 70-30, 30% salesperson talking, 70% customer. It's more of that, is it a conversation? Is it kind of going back and forth in a healthy way? And so I think we're going to uncover just a lot moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, you know, I spoke about this morning. When we look at that talk time, it needs to be dynamic by stage. And I think one of the areas that can be, we got to be cautious in the industry, is you hear about generalized talk times. Reps shouldn't talk a certain amount. Well, look, if you're in the demo stage, we find that you talk over 60%. You'll be around 64% talk time. And you should be talking if you're driving the demo. And when you're not demoing, we're going to see it below 60%, more of a balanced method. But it's important that we don't just generalize our coaching. It needs to be stage specific. We need to be audible ready based upon the scenarios we're in. But we need the awareness. And that's where, you know, it's interesting. The new rollout that Zoom had at Zoomtopia last week, with the Zaps product they put out there, and we're one of the featured launch partners, we now have the ability to be real-time in the meeting. And that means from a coaching standpoint, we can create awareness. We'd be able to look at if someone in the meeting is not really engaged and not being pulled into the conversation. They've only been speaking 2% of the time. How do we in real time start to bring them into this conversation? I think that's going to be magical. That product from Zoom's coming out end of the year, and it's going to change the way we all engage and change the outcomes of an ongoing interaction.
Jim, will the in-person meeting be replaced by technology, do you think?
It's an interesting question. Look, we all love to be in person, and there's a human element that we need to maintain. I will say that many people are recognizing that much of the in-person meetings they had previously don't need to happen in person. I was with a doctor last night, primary care type doctor. And you know, she was even sharing that much of the work she did not need to be actually in person now after, you know, running the practice in the COVID world. So much of it can be done more efficiently in a virtual setting. So I think what you're finding is that, look, we can do a lot of collaboration via Zoom. We're all learning to get better at it. But there's a human element about building trust. There's an experience that we can have together. And I think the fun aspect of work still very much exists in person. I had my leadership team over at my house last night, separated out, outside, all the socially distanced areas. But it was really nice to be together, not on a focused agenda, but to just be human. And I think it's going to be really important. And when the world gets back to where it was before, or back to opening up, I hope that everyone recognizes how important the human-to-human aspect still is.
Well, I saw a statistic the other day and talked about how much customers like this remote experience. And so they'll ultimately drive. But I agree, it won't be a 100% remote, but it'll be more. And there'll be that element of in-person as well, I think, as soon as we can get back to that. And I agree that that's really, really important. But this has definitely shifted things, I think, in a direction that'll never go back to the way it used to be as far as that time.
Scott, I'm curious if what I've been sharing with people is I don't think we're going to have meetings just to go through PowerPoint together. We've proven that we can do that effectively on Zoom, and not everyone's going to be at headquarters when we get there. But the experiences side, conferences, coming together in small groups, whatever it is, I think that is where I'm expecting to see a transformation of how we engage with our customers and prospects. I don't think it'll be in the conference room, but I think it'll be very much over meals and other areas as we start to get more comfortable with that.
Yes, that time will be even more enjoyable. We have a client that, it was interesting, they did a study. They're selling very large multi-million dollar sales, and they went back through their history and they realized that just about 100% of all their closed business customers came to their site, their headquarters here in Portland, Oregon. And they were so surprised at their facility. They're in the manufacturing space, automation, really high-end precision automation. And so that was really an important part of their sales process. It was built in, get the customer on site because we really wow them. So that's a challenge. But I know they want to get back to that as soon as they can as well.
I agree with both Jim and Scott. I think it's going to be driven by the customer in the specific industries, because we were just talking about that in manufacturing. It's going to be really interesting in the pharmaceutical area of selling, which has traditionally been face-to-face and building relationships on a face-to-face basis. That industry is going through major changes in trying to actually get doctors on calls, on video calls. So I think it's going to be driven by industry, and it's going to be driven by the customer, because ultimately these large decisions need to have a relationship and a trust that the customer will determine how much interaction that will take for them to feel comfortable doing business. Because a lot of these larger interactions or transactions are long-term, like the customer that Scott was talking about, you know, if they commit to their manufacturing process, that's a 5 to 10 year relationship. And so is the customer going to feel comfortable making that kind of multi-million decision without visiting and getting familiar with the leaders of the supplier?
I think, Gary, to that point, right now we can't do that. And so we have to make these decisions, as you're sharing, with the best of our ability. And so it's okay that we don't meet people. But once the world opens up, will it be seen as okay to not go inspect that facility and to have those key meetings with the leadership when you could have, when the airplanes were available? And I think what we're going to find is we're going to get right back into some aspects that are similar to where we were before, where if others are doing it, we're going to have to catch up and do that as well. And hopefully we'll be more efficient. But I do expect many things to come back.
Well, Jim, we are reaching the end of our podcast, and we have a little tradition at the end of the podcast, which is our rapid fire question. So everyone will get the same question. And the idea is that you will answer what comes to mind and answer succinctly. All right. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. I know everyone here uses Chorus. What are you listening for, Jim, and improving in your own conversations with customers or colleagues?
Wow. Looking at that wow moment and how our team is literally getting people to say wow back to us.
Well, now I have to ask what wow means to you.
Wow is something I've talked about for many years, but it's having an interaction where you're able to demonstrate aspects of a service very succinctly, microbursts, where people say, wow, hold on, let me grab other people. I didn't realize that was even possible. And we started that back in my ClearSide days, but that's what a wow moment is that you actually pick up the word wow from somebody.
All right. I like it. Listening for wow. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, one of my favorite things is around questions. How can we ask questions more effectively, more thoughtfully? And that's partly probably why these podcasts are a little unnerving for me, because I am more comfortable asking versus answering. But I always like to go back and think, and was that the optimal question? Where might we have gone? Or what are my different options that I might use in the future? So I'd go back to the questions.
Gary.
What I'm always listening for is that level five salesperson who is concerned and asking questions around how they can create value for the customer's business or the customer's customer versus talking about what their current solution does. Until you understand the customer's or the customer's customer's business, you shouldn't even talk about what you're offering, because it doesn't matter until you understand that aspect of what value you might be able to provide.
All right. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Gary. And thank you, Jim, so much for taking time out of your day to join us in this podcast, True Confessions of a Sales Leader. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Hi, this is Scott Olson, founder of the Olson Group. If you found this podcast helpful and informative, don't forget to subscribe via your favorite podcast app or follow the show on Spotify. If you are looking to take your sales organization to the next level and accelerate the growth of your business, the Olson Group can help. Please feel free to reach out to me directly via email at scott@olsongroup.net or call me at 503-525-8866. Thanks again for listening.